If I were to tell you I'm going to preach on repentance, what would be your emotional reaction? If I were to tell you I'm going to preach on repentance, what would you think? Think hellfire and brimstone type sermon? You think we're going to have a revival? What's your reaction to just the word repentance? Does that sound like, you see the fanatic with the sign, repent or perish? Is that what comes to your mind? I want to talk about repentance. And the sermon I had planned just didn't work. Sorry about that. Maybe it'll work out later. Just wouldn't work this week. And I realize most of you that don't preach don't have a clue what I'm talking about, but it just would not work. And I worked on it the whole week, and it would not work. So I want to talk about repentance. And what I want to do, I want to change your mind from a negative aspect of repentance to it being a great, fantastic thing. It is one of the most positive words in the entire Bible. It is one of the most positive words in the entire Bible. Sin is a major, major problem. Sin affects our relationship with God. Agree? Sin affects our relationship with God. Repentance is a part of the process of solving the sin problem. So what happens to my relationship with God if I repent? It's reunited. I'm in a better relationship with God. And so repentance should be a good thing, not a bad thing. It should be a positive thing rather than a negative thing. It should be something in which we say, man, this is fantastic. Here's a way that God has given to me that I can reestablish my relationship with Him if I repent. Now let's talk just a little bit about what repentance means. Repentance is a change of the mind caused by a sorrow for sin and leading to a reformation of life. It is a change of your mind. It is caused by a sorrow for sin and it leads to a reformation of your life. It is turning from sin to God. It is the process of being sorry that you were doing wrong, of confessing that sin to God, of asking God to forgive you, and asking God to strengthen you as you try to resist that sin from now. Repentance is a key concept in the Bible. One of the problems I had when I changed gears and said I can't preach the sermon I wanted to preach, it wouldn't work, was that there were so many scriptures on repentance. There were just so many. So I finally decided, let's just look at three. The first one I want to look at is a part of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is listed four, maybe five times in the Bible, depending on whether you count Mark or not. But let's just say for the sake of it, it's mentioned five times. Five different ways in which Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. That's in the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, the book of John, the book of Acts. I want us to look at the one in Luke. I want you to look it up. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. There's a Bible in the pew rack, and there's an index in the front of the Bible to tell you what Luke is. Maybe that's a table of contents. I don't know what it is. Luke 24. Let's begin reading with verse 44. This is after Jesus had lived approximately 3 years on earth. He had been crucified on the cross. He had been buried. He had been resurrected. He was back now with the disciples, spending about 40 days with them, and teaching them things that they could not understand before the death, burial, and resurrection, before His death, burial, and resurrection. And so he was in the process of strengthening their faith and making sure that they understood that he had died, he had been buried, and he was resurrected from the dead. Let's start with verse 44. It says, "Now he said to them," Jesus said to them, "these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day." Now look at the next verse. "And that repentance for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed," where? "In his name to" where? "All the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." We remember the Great Commission in Matthew that he says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." The one in Mark says, "Go and preach the gospel to all creation." The one in John says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. The one in Acts talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. One of them mentions the fact that we need to have faith. One of them mentions we need to have faith and baptism. Nearly all of them talks about the world, that you need to go to the whole world. This one says you need to go and preach, proclaim what? Tell me. In his name you need to preach what? Repentance. In his name you need to preach repentance. Now shame on us preachers, because you probably never heard very many sermons on repentance. Turn your TV on Sunday morning and see how many sermons you have on repentance. Have quite a few on faith, on the gospel, on being successful in life, but you very seldom heard somebody talk about repentance. In fact, nearly all of us, I think, I may be wrong, but I think nearly all of you, when I said I'm going to preach on repentance, had a negative emotional response to that. That's not a good thing, that's a bad thing. That he's going to talk about hellfire and brimstone, that he's going to try to get people crying in the aisle and all that kind of stuff. That repentance is a bad thing. I believe repentance is a good thing. I think it's one of the most positive things in the entire Bible, because it helps us solve the problem of sin. It helps us solve the problem of sin. So Jesus said, "I want you to go and preach forgiveness of sins in my name." Where? To all the nations. So preachers are commanded, not only preachers, every Christian is commanded to proclaim and to share repentance with the whole nation, all the nations, everywhere. I want repentance to be preached. And yet, nearly all of us respond negatively when somebody preaches repentance. Some kind of fanatic. Some kind of nut. Why can't he preach on positive stuff? Why can't he talk about good things? Why not talk about faith? The Bible does mention faith a lot, doesn't it? But in the particular passage we're looking at here, it doesn't mention faith. What does it mention? Repentance. Go and repentance for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. I want you to start from where you are, and I want you to preach repentance. I want you to go tell people they need to repent. Who do you normally think of as a preacher of repentance? In the Bible, I know of a preacher who preached repentance. Who would you think of? John the Baptist. Did you realize that Jesus also preached repentance? Not in my sermon, but just in case you don't believe me, you can check me out in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Okay, Jesus preached repentance. Now, normally we don't think of Jesus preaching repentance, do we? Even though I know it. If you would ask me who the preacher in the New Testament preached repentance, I'd say John the Baptist. But Jesus himself preached repentance. So repentance is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And repentance needs to be preached because it applies to non-Christians, it applies to Christians, it applies to the church, it applies to the world. Repentance needs to be preached. People need to know that they need to repent. It's not easy to repent, but man, it is powerful to repent. And you can repent almost immediately. And that, you know, the Bible teaches that you need to believe and to be baptized. If you want to be baptized, it takes a little bit of trouble, no matter where you are, who you are. You got to go through a little process to go through the immersion thing, the baptism thing. Repentance, you can just repent right there where you are right now. You can just do it. And if we learn how to do it, we can do it almost immediately. I want you to preach repentance to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now I want you to look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. How many people? All people, everywhere. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, and ignorance is not a bad word there. Ignorance just simply means lack of knowledge. Okay, that's all that means. It's not a put down. It's just that he overlooked the people that didn't know in the past. Having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. Who is commanding that people repent? God is commanding that people repent. God is commanding that. That's what God wants. All people everywhere to repent. The next verse he tells you why. Because he, God, has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Again, we think of the negative aspect of the judgment of God. And we see the sign, repent or perish. You know, that's what we think about. And God does put those two together here. You need to repent because judgment's coming. Who's going to judge according to that text? Who's going to do the judging? Jesus. He has appointed a man. God has appointed a man to judge the world in righteousness, having furnished proof. How did God prove he's going to judge the world? He told us he's going to judge the world, but how did he prove to us that he's going to do that? By the resurrection. In other words, he said, we're going to resurrect Jesus from the dead. He did that. You can check that out. He did what he said he was going to do. Now he says he's going to judge the world. How do I know he's going to do that? Because he kept his word before. He always keeps his word. What he says he's going to do, he's going to do. And he said, well, Lee, but that's scary. You're trying to scare people into heaven. No, I'm trying to love them into heaven. That God has given you a way. God has given you a method whereby you can have your sins forgiven. Jesus' death on the cross was it was a sacrifice for your sin. And so he's given you a way that you can have your sins forgiven. And when God judges you, what's he going to see? The righteousness of Jesus. For the life of me, I can't think of that as negative. That's positive. Yeah? That's a good thing. That he's going to judge the world through Jesus. And I think it's possible to be too familiar with the idea that me and Jesus is buddies. I think we can go too far on that line. But I want you to know, It's not a bad thing if the judge is a good friend of mine. It's not a bad thing if the judge is a good friend. In fact, I just love that old story. Just, you know, I'm not sure it is very biblical, but I just love the old story that they stopped this person. God stopped this person at the gate of heaven. And Jesus walks up and said, "It's okay. He's my friend." Love that story. Because I think the concept is right, right? Technicalities may be a little off, but the concept is right, that we get into heaven because of Jesus. That I pass the judgment, I pass the test because of Jesus. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. And so judgment shouldn't be a scary thing to me, because I am trusting in the blood of Jesus to wash all those sins away. Now look back up in verse 30 and tell me again, what does God want to happen? What does God want to happen? All people everywhere do what? Repent. God wants that to happen. God wants that to happen. He wants all people everywhere to repent. Probably going to get in trouble. But does he want just the elect to repent? Who does he say he wants to repent? All people everywhere to repent. All people, everywhere. That's what God wants. That's what God's desire is. And that's one of the reasons Jesus said, "I want you to go and preach repentance for forgiveness of sins to all the nations." 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to. In this text, in this verse alone, what is the opposite of perishing? What is the opposite? Coming to repentance. How many people does God want that to happen to, according to this verse? How many people? All people. This is the only verse in the entire Bible that I know about that tells us why Jesus hadn't come back. Why hadn't Jesus come back according to this verse? Is he slow? He just sluggish and can't get it done? That's the way I felt this week. I'm just sluggish and can't get it done. Is that what's wrong with God? That's the reason Jesus hasn't come back? What's the reason here? He's patient. Why is he patient? Why? Because he doesn't want anybody to perish. Now, it is true God has given us free will, and God has decided in his sovereignty to give us free will and to not override that free will. Not sure if you understand what I just said, but God gave us free will. God wants us to be saved, but he respects our free will, so he will not push salvation on us. We get to choose. And a part of that choosing process includes repentance. A part of that choosing process includes repentance. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for, how many? All to come to repentance. In this verse, it is equal to becoming a Christian, right? That's what he's talking about. He don't want you to perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. Repentance, we think of repentance as an emotional experience. The Bible word for repentance is not so much emotional, although emotions may be involved. The Bible word for repentance is that you change your mind. So it's an intellectual thing that you do. That I am no longer going to serve sin, I'm going to serve God. That I am sorry, which includes emotions, I guess. But let's look at one more verse. And I hope this verse don't confuse you. But look at 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Those of you who pick up my notes, I'm not giving out notes today. But if you did pick up my notes, this verse wouldn't be in there. 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Now, the one point I want to make here is that just being sorry for my sins is not enough. Just being sorry for my sins is not enough. The sorrow of the world produces death. But the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret. In other words, if I repent according to the way God wants me to repent, I change my mind about sin, I decide that I no longer want to sin, that I want to stop sinning, and I want to live the way He wants me to live, I want to do what He wants me to do. Now let me see if I can come to your house and sit down at your table and talk about what affects you. I believe in the scriptures we use today primarily dealt with repentance as it applies to the lost. That they turn and they come to God. But it is also true that we Christians need to sometime repent. That we need to realize that I am committing sin and I should go to God and confess that sin. Confession of sin is pretty common. Repentance of sin is pretty rare. Confessing of sin is pretty common. Repentance of sin is pretty rare. Because in repentance of sin, I say, I'm going to try my best not to do that anymore. I'm going to try to stop that. I'm going to change my mind about that sin. That's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. I want to do what God wants me to do. My guess is that some of you are wrestling with sin right now, and some of you have been wrestling with it for years. Some of you are dealing with anger. And it is possible for anger not to be a sin. Most of the time, it is a sin. It is possible for anger not to be a sin. Most of the time, it is sin. So when I sin, what do I need to do? Tell me that word. I need to repent. So if there's anger in my heart, the Bible says I need to get rid of that anger. The way I get rid of that anger is to repent of it. To change my mind about it. And some of you are very, very angry and been angry for years at certain people that did something wrong to you. You need to repent. Because whether they were wrong or right doesn't make any difference. If you're angry, you're sinning. They may be sinning too. But if you're angry and that anger has built into bitterness and hatred, you're sinning. You need to repent. Some of you are very unforgiving. Somebody's done something to you, and I won't even argue about whether they were right or wrong, because it doesn't make any difference. If they were wrong, they're going to have to face God with it. But if you don't forgive them, you're going to have to face God with it. So some of you have unforgiveness in your heart. And for some of you, it's been there for months and months and months and maybe even years. There's somebody that you just will not forgive. You need to repent. You don't need to tell me about it. You don't need, unless it's a public sin, you don't need to confess it publicly. But you need to repent of it. So I'm going to challenge you sometime this afternoon to just get somewhere by yourself. Just you and God. And ask God to show you the sins that you are harboring in your heart. and then repent of them. Just confess, God, I know that's wrong. I ask that you forgive me. I'm going to try my best with your help not to do that anymore. You see, I can't judge your heart. I may be totally wrong. There may be not one person here who has anger or unforgiveness in their heart. I'd really be surprised, but it may be, that may be true. But God can judge your heart. And you don't need to, see, it's twice I'm going to get in trouble in one day, but you don't need to go to a priest and confess it. Who's the one mediator between you and God? Jesus. That's who you need to go to. That one mediator, Jesus. Now, it may be that if you sinned against a person, you need to go and confess sin to that person. But as far as your heart's concerned, what you need to do is to go to God through Jesus, repent of it, and ask God to forgive you.